my dad's. My dad's brother-in-law had that. He had twins. Emmanuel Leo.
So the twins run in your family?
I believe so.
I thought they were always on the woman's side.
No.
I thought they skipped a back generation.
No. I enjoy so much watching the birds.
Yeah, tell us about your, tell us about, you started to tell us about the Squirrel Hill Coalition. You were active in that.
And for then, a short time.
What'd you say?
For a short time.
Oh, just for a short time? Okay. And then you got busy with stained glass, making stained glass?
Well, I haven't been involved in it for a few years, but I have been expecting that. Uh-huh. Photography.
And videography.
I'd like for you to see the pictures. They're terrific. That's what I have to say. I'm going to say 95% of people.
They what?
95% of the people are dead.
You do portraits mostly? Or?
No.
No. Okay. Any special thing that you like to photograph?
The kids in the swimming pool.
One of the things you mentioned
video
was service years. What did you do during that
period? I was a medical officer. Retired as a lieutenant colonel.
Were you dealing with patients, with soldiers?
Sailors.
And you were, what was your rank when you retired?
Lieutenant commander.
Retired.
I was caught in the last draft.
I think you're going to have to speak up.
Is it running?
Yes.
You have to be an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah. So photography has been your hobby for a number of years, is that correct?
Yes, photography and videography.
And video.
Do you apply any of the photography efforts to your medical practice?
Not really.
Anything with that? No, you don't. It does. It's only a hobby type thing, personal. Have you been involved in any way with any of the minority groups with your research?
No, this was a Caucasian family from Germany.
You've mentioned colleagues that you've worked with.
We used to show colleagues. My wife and I.
And the one paper I noticed, Dr. Janowski.
You two are on different. You're saying colleagues, the dogs. You're saying colleagues.
Colleagues.
The people.
Four-legged.
Sorry.
Four-legged colleagues.
<I suppose.
laughs> It shows you how things could get twisted.
All right. Let's talk about colleagues.
Colleagues. Now what?
The two-legged.
The two-legged kind that you were associated with in your medical field.
In what way were you?
Who did you work with? Is that what you're asking?
With whom did I work? Well,
yes, people that you enjoyed working with.
There were a group of us, of course, went through Dr. Jack Myers' program, Phil Levine, Manny Krischer.
What kind of, was he a doctor also?
All in internal medicine.
Joe Levine.
Manny Krischer was my husband's doctor.
Phil Levine was P.R. Levine. Phil Levine.
Phil Levine.
Manny was a Cuban Jew. He'd be interesting to talk to. Couldn't be.
These names are all foreign to me. You're going to have to spell.
Manny came from where?
Cuba.
Manny
Krischer.
He's with the university.
Spell.
Incidentally, my
A-R-I-F-C-H-E-R?
Practice.
A-R-I-F-C-H-E-R?
That's correct. My entire practice was bought out by the university last year. Medicine has changed.
And who's the doctor in charge then?
There's nobody really in charge.
Nobody's in charge. Why did they have to buy them?
Because they wanted to. They wanted the patients.
For the business?
For the business.
And the people in your patients continued to come?
Oh, sure. One reason I was pleased, I was able to retire satisfied in the sense that patients would be taken care of by my four or five associates.
Plan.
See what they...
Yeah. Would you like to tell us your thoughts on the changes in medical practice today and what you envision it being in the near future?
This is my group. This is the group I started. Well, it's been a remarkable change. Medicine was always concerned that it would become socialized. It would be socialized medicine. Just the opposite happened. It was taken over by capitalists.
Taken over by businesses.
By business.
Right.
It became a business.
Right, you're absolutely right.
See what I mentioned here? Right, right, exactly.
Okay, talk about how medicine has changed.
Well, it's become a business. Doctors are no longer in charge of what's being done. You're being monitored by how many patients you see, by how many consultants you use.
And how?
Why don't you try yourself to take care of a patient before sending him to the dermatologist? Couldn't you do this? Sure. The bottom line is the buck. When I was in practice, the bottom line was the patient.
Well, now, years ago, you know, I can remember before we had health insurance, when you paid your doctor according to your means or whatever.
Frequently that was the case, or the doctor never charged.
That's right.
Or I went to Falk Clinic every Wednesday afternoon to take care of the clinic patients. I didn't get paid. Patients weren't charged. Now these patients are on Medicaid and the HMOs and so forth to figure out how they can get the most out of a patient in terms of money and bundle services. I was in the hospital one day recently. $55,000. I'll show you the bills.
One of my jobs that I did, which I was doing this morning, was explaining to people about insurance. I'm part of the SHIP program, the Information Counseling Program. We don't push any particular kind of insurance, but we explain about it. And some of the things that are happening are just terrible. The price of health insurance that we were used to is beyond a lot of people's abilities.
I had a bypass about 5 years ago. It was $100,000. And then I was in the hospital for 5 days for an angioplasty stent. That must have run out $100,000 or so. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A hospital. To talk about the doctor's fee. It's a small fraction. Small fraction. The hospitals
but they're not
making out
paid
like bandits.
That much. That's what they charge, but they don't receive that much.
There's a breakdown in this morning's paper about the various charges from the hospitals broken down according to different categories. And
it's my buddy.
And it tells how much the hospitals charge for a certain procedure how much they get and how much insurance they cover.
It's become a game. Become a game. Yeah.
It's not like Dr. Quinn on the television.
I've never seen that at all.
I haven't too.
Okay.
It's very interesting. It's a different kind of thing from way back frontier days.
But your son is still enjoying practicing. He likes
yes,
medicine.
He doesn't know anything different.
That's true.
He's come in under the system as head of my daughter. Natalie's daughter had a taste of both. Natalie's daughter is an internist. She practices out in Hill's doctor.
Dr.
Whitman is a generalist. Tracy Seawald.
Oh. I know her mother and no.
Natalie's her mother.
No, I know her cousin Andrea. Is that a cousin?
I don't.
She's a care manager.
Okay. One of the problems that I personally have with a lot of the HMO type practice is that it isn't even the doctor who decides what you have. It's some kind of a clerk or administrative person.
Whether or not the doctor should be paid. Could we shut that off?
Tell us about the Minutemen.
Well, the Minutemen is a group of Pitt graduates, for the most part, who serve as advisors to the dean of the faculty. I've been a member for many years. It's supposed to be a very unique, very desirable, very desirable.
You're talking about the medical school, Dean.
Yeah. Very desirable organization to belong to. I recently got my son in. He's now gotten his wife in. God, talk about nepotism. I've done my share, I think.
Well, you're certainly very well known in the Pittsburgh community.
Thousands of patients have now met. Had some good people join me there. They're all with me. Only once do we have to fire a nurse. Oh, actually, she was a nurse.
So, are you still?
Everybody joined me. You stayed with me. So often you see these groups that come together, go apart, and come and come in all the way. But everybody who started out with me stayed.
Very nice.
I took great pride in that. They all did well.
Speaks very well of you, too.
Alan was the president of the Catholic Physicians Organization. Neil was chairman of medicine at St. Clair. Alan was chairman of medicine. They all did well.
Are you involved still in the research? I mean, I see.
Oh, yes. I have three different grants, one from the Mellon Foundation, one from the Curtis Kossman Foundation.
And one is from Mellon. And what was the next one?
Curtis Kossman, Paul Kossman.
Oh, Paul Kossman.
He's a very dear friend of mine. In fact, Natalie and I were at a groundbreaking. You ever been to a groundbreaking?
I guess I've seen it. I don't know that I've been to them.
Just beyond Shelley High School on the Boulevard. He's quite a huge building.
Oh, I know where they're doing that, and I wondered what was going on.
Yes, it's part of it's going to be Marion.
Offices.
Part of it. Well, it's going to be for...
Just behind the Madison?
Just the...
The new condominium building that's going up?
No, this is going
just
to
be beyond
actually low-cost housing also, isn't it?
Right.
Not really, no.
Well, that's what I thought I read.
What's the stage above a nursing home? Assisted living. Assisted living.
Assisted living.
It's a new concept and very bad.
Mm-hmm.
People have their own apartment, but they have a common place to eat.
Right. Now, what do you have to do with that? watch yourself.
No, we were there as guests of Paul. Paul and I.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought you had. But the grant that you have,
and then I also got one from the Knudsen Foundation.
Who?
The Earl Knudsen Foundation.
K-N-U-D?
Well, these are all things that are the political ins and outs of the medical community.
I guess.
Because it has to do with planning and getting together and making decisions that involve helping the entire community.
It's another interesting thing you might like to hear about. I was on the yearbook, the first yearbook the medical school had had in 20 or 30 years. It's business manager, and I went down to the William Penn. You're old enough to remember the William Penn.
I sure am.
And they're selling raffles to a Cadillac lobby. Come on, buy a raffle. I said, oh, I have to go get an ad. Oh, well, if you're going to a medical student, you should have to buy a raffle. So I bought a raffle ticket. That night, I came home. My dad had put up an apartment building in Detroit Street called the Mayflower Apartments, like the Mayflower Bakery across from the Fridge Apartment. And I noticed the lights were on. I said, uh-oh, I'm going to get hell because I'm a half an hour late. Believe it or not, even though I was in medical school, my father and mother expected me to be home at a certain time. If I said I was going to be home at 12, I was home at 12. Anyway, I came in, the lights were on, my dad's standing in the middle of the room. He said, did you buy a raffle today? I said, yes.
How did you know?
They had called to tell him that Samuel Tishman had won the raffle.
What?
I was living at home, but I didn't win the Cadillac.
What did you win?
Ford convertible.
So
you were a sporty guy.
When they first called, Dad said he knew nothing about it, thought somebody was playing a joke and practically told him to go to hell. But my cousin was sitting in the audience, one of the Mervises. She knew the Mervises were involved in the theaters. And they went up and they said, they think they know the answer to it. The trouble they were having locating the winner. Well, as a freshman in medical school, I was again, that was about a few years later, I was a patient of mine. Thor Richter was chief medical officer, consul, that's all they call him. And I took care of his wife, and it's very appreciative. He always sent me a lovely gift, but it was different from the usual. Most of the time I've sent liqueurs. I have about 30 bottles of liqueur. You like liqueur, by the way?
No.
Marvelous liqueur. Put them over ice cream. The people who gave them to me would die if they didn't fight. Put them over ice cream. So I'm unloading a truck from an orchid exhibit that night. I got a call. Sam Tishman, I said, yes. I said, did you buy a ticket for the Bedford Symphony? Brouwerman, as you know, was the director. I said, no, I didn't buy any tickets. He said, you want an Audi? I beg your pardon? It's impossible. You must remember, look in your pocket. Sometimes people buy tickets and forget. I looked in my pocket like a damn fool when there's no ticket. He said, it's $100 ticket. Are you sure you don't? I said, you'll have to excuse me, but I have to unload a truck. 10 minutes later, the phone rings again. Dr. Tishman, I said, you're the owner of a $25,000 Audi. I said, but I didn't buy a ticket. He said, no, you did, but Dr. Thor Richter apparently bought one as a gift for you because it said on the ticket, he looked again at the ticket, it said, gift of Dr. Thor Richter.
didn't
it? 10 minutes later, they arrived with this beautiful car. So there are a couple of interesting things in life.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
In my life.
Rewarding.
As a feature writer for the Shining Triangle, I would have to include that.
Absolutely.
Looking at the bright side.
You know, we're gonna wind this up.
Okay.
You're sounding tired, and you know, we can always come back if there's more that you haven't told us.
I'll gather together. In fact, I have a whole folder on family history.
Yeah. All of this that we can include, if you don't mind, making copies for us.
So kind of you to come. I'm honored.
Oh,
we are
pleased
to do it.
I wanted to do this myself, but I could never quite get up the energy for the benefit of the grandchildren.
Yeah.
All right. What we can do is, after this is all gone over and our notes are put in, we can see to it that you get a copy of the tape.